Go ahead and get started now. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. We'll start reading with verse number 1 and read the first 11 verses. The Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, in this passage, I want you to take note of the importance of faith. That's where we're at this morning, this matter of faith. Verse number 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in My wrath, if they shall enter into My rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into My rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again He limited a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Brethren, this morning as we begin our thoughts, we're talking about this matter of faith or doubt. The logic of faith will lead us to rest and contentment. The logic of faith, as it applies to the Word of God, will lead us to rest and contentment. Remember last week, I'll not reteach that. We simply said you can face this issue, you can approach this issue from two perspectives. You'll either approach it by faith or you'll approach it by doubt. If you approach this Bible issue by doubt, you'll apply the logic of unbelief. Doubt breeds unbelief. If you start from a position of doubt, you apply the logic of unbelief like all the creators of the critical text do, you'll come to a position of maximum uncertainty in the Word of God. However, if, as most of you in this room have, if you start from a position of belief and you apply the logic of faith to this matter of the Word of God, you'll end up with a position of maximum certainty that we do indeed have the true Word of God in our King James Bible. You see, the logic of faith leads to rest and contentment. Folks, we don't need to be struggling with this. One of the whole goals in my mind of all this study, I don't want the people of God to be concerned about whether or not they have the Word of God. I want you to have peace and contentment and rest. I want you to be able to say, in this King James Bible, I have got the perfect and the complete and the infallible Word of Almighty God. You see, that's what we have this morning. The logic of faith leads to rest and contentment. Faith proclaims, I'm perfectly willing to allow faith to take over when knowledge fails, when education is sufficient, when historical records become blurred because of the depravity of man. I'm willing, if I don't know the answer to a question, if my education on the subject up to this point is insufficient. By the way, education can be increased, folks. We can increase that on our own just with work and effort and praying for the leadership of the Spirit of God. History sometimes doesn't provide us with a real broad and wide proof in some areas because men over the years, starting way back, we're going to study this, I hadn't got there yet, starting all the way back in the early days up to the 300s, the Roman emperors persecuted Christians and burned all the Bibles that they could get their hands on and burned all their literature. And where the Roman emperors left off, the godless Roman Catholic Church began, and for 1,000 years, in the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church did everything that they could do to destroy the Word of God and all the Christian literature they could find. By the way, I've got more to get to every week than I can get to. I shouldn't even chase this rabbit right now, but I'm going to. Do you realize, folks, that there were actually Bible burnings by the Roman Catholic Church in the United States of America? Wow. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, surely you're not telling the truth about that. Oh, yeah, folks. In America, the Roman Catholic Church has burned Bibles in the 1800s in some of the northern states. We'll share that with you as we go on, but I'll leave that there at this point in time. You see, I by faith believe many things that I cannot explain and do not understand. I believe a lot of things that I can't explain and don't understand. I believe in miracles, but I can't really explain all of it other than just say God did it. I believe a lot of things. Why, I still hadn't ever figured out how television's possible myself. Now, some of you are saying, Brother Kirkpatrick, you're just really, you know, I know, just bear with me. I still haven't ever figured that out. I don't understand how that works. I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it. From a technical point of view, this morning, if you said, Brother Kirkpatrick, I want you to explain to me exactly how that works, that these signals are sent out into the air and they're received and how all that works, I don't have a clue. I still hadn't figured that out. I really never have tried. But you know what? That doesn't keep me from flipping it on. I still can't really explain electricity very well. But I still use the lights at my house, though. Folks, I don't have to be able to explain everything in the Bible to just believe the Bible and say, this is it. I'm just going to stay with it. See, there's a lot of things that we can't explain that we go ahead and use them or have confidence in them anyway. You see, we need to just stay with the Word of God. Let me read a quote to you from, this is on page 367. This is I've got the wrong book up here. This book right here. This is a book by David Cloud. I did not know David Cloud. David Cloud and I were students at Tennessee Temple at the same time. We were there during the same years. I am sure that we had classes together. I didn't know him personally, still don't know him personally. Sometime recently, I got an old yearbook and looked him up and saw, he really was there, just like he said he was. But anyway, in his book, he gives a quote from Dr. Bruce Lackey. Now, a little background. Dr. Bruce Lackey was the dean of the Bible school when I was a student at Tennessee Temple. Dr. Bruce Lackey was a great defender of the King James Bible, even though Tennessee Temple was not a strong King James Bible school. I didn't know that when I went to Tennessee Temple. I'd only been saved for just a few months when I went to Tennessee Temple. I didn't know anything when I went there. Dr. Bruce Lackey, I had the privilege of sitting under him. I took everything to my knowledge. I took every class that he offered. After I graduated and became a pastor, I actually had Dr. Lackey into my church for Bible conferences and things of that nature. So I have some background with Dr. Lackey. David Cloud quotes Dr. Lackey, and here's what Dr. Lackey said this: faith which is based on a clear promise is stronger than objections that are raised by our lack of information. Faith that is based on a clear promise is stronger than objections that are raised by our lack of information. Folks, we should never be able to be shaken from our confidence in the Word of God just because we don't have the answer to some question. We should never be shaken. I've determined. I've been with the Word of God for all these years. I've never doubted from the day I got saved that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Folks, nobody can write anything in a book. Nobody can say anything from the pulpit. Nobody can have a great enough education to be able to stand up and say anything that is going to change my opinion of the Word of God. I believe this is the Bible. And if anybody denies that or tries to give proof to the contrary, they are just plain wrong. You see, I've made up my mind. It's a closed subject. I'm not going back and revisiting that. It's not something that I'm concerned about. I'm going forward with the Word of God. I'm not going backward and questioning the Word of God. By faith, I'm willing to believe that by and by, the Spirit of God will come with light, and then I will understand. But until then, I need not doubt nor be dismayed as to whether or not I have the Word of God. Now, folks, remember, there's something wrong in a person's heart, and a problem with a person's faith if they need proof to believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. There's something wrong in the heart and a problem with our faith if we have to have external proof to believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. I repeat something that I've already said. This is a faith issue. You will not come to a satisfactory conclusion and confidence in the Word of God based on purely intellectual means. It just won't happen. It is a faith issue. Folks, the Bible was given by God. It was preserved by God. It's been given to us in the King James Bible. And then, starting with the early church, God used, and we're going to spend time on this later, so I'm only going to mention it here, God used the rank and file of Christianity. God used the members of local churches from the time of the early church that are recorded in the Bible until this day. God used the members of local churches to preserve this Word so that you and I have it today. Now, over time, God at different times used some highly educated men to put it in print for the first time and things of that nature. But folks, the only reason that those individuals had the Word of God to put in print or whatever it was is because the average children of God, members of local churches, stood true to the Word of God and they stood against that which was wrong. And when people tried to introduce impurities into it, people of God stood up and said, "Oh no, we'll not have that. We're not changing the Word of God." God Almighty use Christians just like you and I to preserve His Word until this very day. As guided by the common faith, they recognized the pure Word of God and rejected the impure. They passed the pure Word on to each generation by following the logic of faith. They determined to believe God and to follow the common faith even when it was unpopular to do so, and even when the worldly wise said otherwise, just like today. It's never changed. It started in the Garden of Eden when Satan said, "Yea, hath God said," and that's what those folks are doing today that want to change the Word of God. They're standing up and saying, "Yea, hath God said." is that King James Bible really the Word of God, or maybe one of the other versions? Hint, this is the Word of God, the King James Bible. All the other versions, all 400 and something of them, are not the Word of God. Wow. Lester Olof. Have you ever heard Lester Olof preach? I did. It was quite an experience. I'd only been saved a few weeks or maybe a month or two when I heard Lester Olof. And those that have heard him know what I'm talking about. It was quite an eye-opening thing. Nobody ever conducted a service like Lester Olof. Nobody ever sang like Lester Olof either and was allowed to keep doing it. But anyway, great man of God. Brother Lester Olof, he's with the Lord now. Lester Olof said this. He used to say this pretty often. Lester Olof said, "I am a fool for Jesus Christ. Whose fool are you?" I'm a fool for Jesus Christ. Whose fool are you? Folks, I want to ask a question. Am I willing, are you willing, to be called a fool by the world because you stand true to Christ and the Word of God? Or, like many, will some turn from the Word and actually be a worldly fool in the full biblical sense? You'll have to make one of two decisions. You can put faith in God and choose the King James Bible, or you can put faith in man and choose one of the critical text versions. There's only two choices, folks. There's only two choices. Remember, this is not debatable. Even those that created the critical text admit that the text of the King James Bible is the majority text that goes all the way back to the early church. Even they admit that, but they don't want to accept that. They want to accept anything other than that. You see, the choice is simple. You can either decide to believe God and go to the King James Bible, or you can decide to believe man and go with one of the critical text versions. If we start with a heart of belief and apply the logic of faith, the Holy Spirit will lead us to the reality that the King James Bible truly does represent the common faith of the people of God that's been handed down from the early church. And folks, when that happens, truth and rest and peace will be ours. That's what I want you to have. Truth. Every morning, when it's time to read my Bible, how I thank God that God has given me the Word of God. Every day when I'm in the Bible, when I'm doing my reading or doing my studying for this class or for preaching or whatever it is, every time, on a daily basis, when I open the Word of God, the doubt never enters my mind that maybe I don't have the Word of God. Folks, it never enters my mind. I never open the Bible and think, well, maybe there's something wrong here. Folks, that never happens. When I open this Bible, I know that I have the true words of Almighty God. And for those that are struggling with this issue, they're the ones that I want to try to help during this study. Let's go to the next section. Page 27 in your notes, those who corrupt the true Word of God. The average Christian has little idea how big the New Version's problem really is. One of the main reasons folks don't know how big a problem this is and know what the solution to it is that Bible preachers and teachers like me have done a really poor job for the last 30 or 40 years dealing with this issue. Many of us have stood on the sideline. We thought decades ago, even though we were confident, even though I was confident that this was the Word of God and never was bothered by the issue, I stood on the sideline for decades, and I guess in my mind I thought, well, you know, only a few people in those liberal churches are ever going to be affected by it. It'll never come into the independent fundamental Baptist churches. Guess what, folks? We stood on the sideline, we being preachers and teachers of the Word of God, we stood on the sideline long enough to where one day we woke up from our spiritual slumber and we realized that people in our independent fundamental Baptist churches were genuinely having problems with the issue. Only then did some of us wake up. Only then did we listen to God when God spoke to our heart and said, listen, you need to do something about it. You need to quit being quiet. You need to get out there in front and lead the way so that folks will know the truth. That's what I'm trying to do. How big is the problem? How many counterfeit Bibles do you believe there are? Someone say, I guess there's 5 or 10. Others would say, oh no, there's a lot of them, at least 20 or 25. Now, in your notes, I know this is here, and you're going to think I'm just contradicting myself up one side and down the other this morning. In your notes, it says in the middle of that second paragraph under those who corrupt the Word of God, it says, the fact is there are more than 200. Well, that's true, kind of. There are more than 200, more than 200 and something more than 200 altogether. I made you a list here. I made you a list. On the list, and you folks have got it in your notes there. On your list, you've got 129. Now, my list starts with 1881. I had a criteria here. I started with the English Revised Version that came out in 1881. I didn't go back before that. Also, I only listed those that I could find a copyright date for. I've got a lot of other names of a lot of other Bibles. But if I couldn't find a copyright, these are purely guidelines that I just simply made up for myself for this because I never intended that this list be totally exhaustive. I had some guidelines. I didn't go back before 1881. I only listed those that had a copyright date. On my list, of course, I've got 129. And then I've got 10 more that are in the works. 10 more that are in the works. But I want you to hold that thought and I want you to listen to this for just a moment. I've got a book up here. I'm going to make reference to it now. This book is entitled Defending the King James Bible by Dr. D.A. Waite. In the back of this little book that I've got right here, I brought it with me this morning. In the back of this little book, in Appendix B, which is pages 197 through 215, Dr. Waite gives an exhaustive list of new versions of the Bible. Dr. Waite goes all the way back some 612 years, and he ended with 1991. This book goes through 1991. In Dr. Waite's book, in the last 612 years, ending in 1991, he documents, the list is here, he documents that there have been 135 complete English Bibles and 293 complete New Testaments. 135 complete Bibles, Old and New Testament, and 293 New Testaments only. That makes 428. Since 1991, I use the list that you have in your notes, and from 1991 to the present, I added 58 more to that list that Dr. Waite doesn't have because his list stops in 1991. Folks, that makes 486. When you add to that 486 the 10 that are listed in your notes that are in the works and haven't been published yet, that brings the total number to 496. Can you imagine, in your greatest imagination, can you imagine the need for 496 versions of the Bible in the English language? Can you imagine that? Now, I want to be very careful here. I want to give the clear picture. Dr. Waite includes some good versions that were made during the purifying process when God was working toward the publishing of the King James Bible. Dr. Waite's list would include Tyndale's New Testament and Cloverdale's and Matthew's Bible and the Geneva Bible. By the way, the Geneva Bible was the Bible that the Pilgrims brought with them to America on the Mayflower. Wow, I like that. Man alive. Dr. Waite's list includes those few that were actually good in his comprehensive list. I want to ask you a question. Why is it that there's so many? Look on your, if you have your notes on page 27, I want to read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all churches of the saints." Folks, God's not the author of confusion. God's not in 496 versions of the Word of God in the English language. God didn't do that, folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Acts chapter 13 and verse 10, "And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, which that wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of God." You see, those that are printing these versions, these counterfeit Bibles, are perverting the right ways of God. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Could I draw from that thought and say that anyone that would pervert the Word of God by printing a perversion, a counterfeit that's not the Word of God, they ought to be cursed also. And God has pronounced that curse in the book of Revelation chapter 22, where God said, "Cursed is anyone that would add to or take away from the words of this book." Now, folks, I want to make a, before I run out of time here, I want to get this thought in. Now, what I'm about to give you now is something that later on we'll be giving out in detail, and I simply want to mention it now because it's needful to apply it here. What is the purpose? I want to start by asking a question. What is the purpose of all those translations? I don't have to ask. I don't think there's a person in this room that would raise your hand and say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, I think we need 490-something translations of the Bible in English." I don't think anybody would raise your hand that they thought that. What's the purpose of them? Why are they all there? at this late stage of the game, you say, what late stage of what game? At this point in church history, I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, folks, but one thing I can say with absolute certainty about it is it's closer than it's ever been before. That's as close to setting a date as you're going to get me to go. It's closer than it ever has been before. It's closer this morning than it was yesterday morning. I believe it's imminent. I believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. He could come at any moment, folks. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're late in the stage of the game. I believe we're late in this thing, this period of time we call the church age. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again before long. At this late stage in the game, you're naive. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I want to be very plain here. I don't want there to be any question. You're naive to think that all these translations come from a good heart and from a pure motive. Folks, you're just being naive. If you can try in your heart and mind, if you would try to make, to justify that, if you'd say, well, Brother Kirkpatrick, I know some of those versions are not very good, but I believe those folks are really trying and want to do right. No, folks are not trying to do good and they're not coming from a good heart. Most of it's just plain old corrupting on purpose the Word of God. I want to give you five things, five reasons why we have so many versions. Now, this is not in your notes right now. It will be in a section of its own later on if the Lord tarries is coming. And when I give you out the next set of notes that we've written on the subject, it'll be in there. Five reasons why there are so many versions of the Bible. Before I give those, on the top of page 29, the word abbreviation at the top of the page is supposed to have an I in it. It seems that I am not capable of writing anything without getting mistakes in it. I can proofread 25 times myself, and I still don't catch them. So all I can say is confess it and go on. So the word abbreviation does have an I in it, so you want to put that in there, top of page 29. Five reasons why we've got so many versions. Number one, because some people want to remove teachings that they don't like. Many of these versions are printed by people that want to remove a teaching that they don't like. We're going to prove to you historically that many of those versions, most of them, go all the way back to Alexandria, Egypt, and something that was called Gnosticism. And later on, Gnosticism bred another false teaching that's called Arianism. And Arianism denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the bodily resurrection and perverts the incarnation of Christ. And folks, many of these new versions are written with the specific goal in mind to try to remove teachings that they don't like. They don't get it all done in one printing, but they'll keep on revising it. And every time they revise it, they remove a little more of the truth and they put in a little more of the untruth. And eventually their goal is to have something that teaches what they believe instead of what God says. By the way, in combination altogether, every bit of it is leading toward a one-world religion under the dominion of the great counterfeiter Satan. Folks, every bit of it is leading toward that one-world religion that'll come in the end times. And what they're doing is slowly and surely stealing away the true Word of God, replacing it with a counterfeit, so that the stage will be set later on for that one world religion headed up by Satan himself. Number one, the reason for these translations, they want to remove a teaching they don't like. Number two, they do them to add a teaching that they do like. You see, these folks don't care anything about the Word of God. By the way, those people that are printing these Bibles, the people that are printing these Bibles, they care nothing for the Word of God. I'm about to give away my next point. And number three is, they do it to make money. They do it to make money. I'm giving away all my stuff before we get there. When you get this section, you're going to have a You're going to have a page, and it's going to have a full page picture of something on it. You know what it is? I wish I'd brought it with me this morning. It's copyright symbol. It's copyright symbol. You see, their noble reason for printing these Bibles for the most part today, you know what it is, folks? It's filthy lucre. They want to make money. They want to make money. I read to you in the NIV last week, I believe it was, or the week before, something they said in the preface, and all the different perversions, the false Bibles, the counterfeits, they all have something that was written in there, the preface of the Bible, of the counterfeit that was written by the writers. Let me tell you something that none of them ever say in any of them. It's not in any of them. You can read till you turn blue in the face. You know what none of them ever say? None of them ever say in there, we want you, the reader, to know that we changed a lot of stuff in this version because we did it for copyright reasons so we can make money. It's not in there, folks. Let me read you something. This is in another book, page 371. Talking about the New King James Version. Listen to this. The little highlighted thing says the New King James Version makes thousands of unnecessary changes. There are an estimated, I want you to listen to this, there are an estimated 100,000 changes in the New King James Version, averaging 80 per page. Listen to the next sentence, the explanation. This was probably done for copyright purposes. What does that mean, done for copyright purposes? They want to make money, folks. They want to make money. To get a copyright, you have to keep changing it. By the way, I've already told you the New International Version, they just came out with a new 2011. It's different from the 1984 version, which wasn't the first one either. It's different. Why is it different? Because they recopyrighted it. They had to make changes because to get a new copyright, they couldn't leave it the same. And you don't make a lot of money by selling that which is old. You make more money by selling that which is new. Why have we got over 400 versions? They wanted to remove a doctrine they didn't like. They wanted to insert a teaching that they did like. They wanted to make money. Number four, they did it because of the prestige and recognition. Old Dr. Bottlestopper. Old Dr. Bottlestopper liked it when he stand up and says, I was on the committee that did the NIV. I was on the committee that did the New King James Version. I was on the committee. I was on the committee that did the, oh, let's see, is it, I believe it's 2004. Let's see here. Yeah. I was on the committee that did the 2004 Holman Christian Standard Bible. Who knows what that one is? That's the one that was done by the Southern Baptist Convention. That's when it was done by the Southern Baptist Convention. They decided they needed to get in on it and make a little money on the side too. So they got together in the Southern Baptist Convention. They did their own liberal critical text version of the Bible, and it's called the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I was recently in a bookstore, and there was a section that was as large, I believe, folks, as between these windows right here. There was a section as large about as between these windows, from the floor up as high as you could reach. It was a big display of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And they had those Bibles, I mean, they were done up in deluxe leather, and they were the most beautiful book you have ever seen. They had a big, elaborate display. They had multiple Bibles of different size and shapes opened on the little podiums there and all, so you come up and thumb through and all that. Why are they doing all that? Because they want to get out the Word of God? No, it's not. It's because they want to make money. They want to make money. You see, some people do it to remove a teaching they don't like. Some of them are printed because they want to add a teaching that they do like. All of them do it because they want to make money. Some do it to get prestige and recognition. And number five is just the most obvious of all of them. It's done to destroy faith in God and His Word. And it's led and headed up by old Slewfoot himself, the devil, Lucifer, Satan. In closing, I want to say this. There's only one true Word of God in the English language, and that's the King James Bible. Folks, when the King James Bible was printed in 1611, God got out of the translation business as relates to the English language. He's already given it. Folks, this is the Word of God. This is the one you can have confidence in. Don't mess with those other 400 and something. Just stay with this one. This is the one that's correct. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness. Bless Your people, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.